Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Ohio State, Texas, Cotton Bowl tomorrow. Tonight, oh yeah, it's the Orange Bowl. We're talking about Notre Dame versus Penn State. All the brands you could possibly want. You can just hear the playoff selection committee giddy that there is just all brands left. And speaking of great brands, Pete Futek, College Football News, joins us every Thursday on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline right now. Pete, welcome to the show.
And get used to it. I mean, this is going to be your college football playoff semifinals pretty much every year. We have to get ready for this. Isn't the NCAA basketball tournament? We're not going to have a Cinderella, which is like kind of think everyone was waiting for. Like, oh my gosh, Arizona State's going to go on a run, or Boise State, or SMU. That's not going to happen. It is going to be the really rich teams who can afford a Chip Kelly as an offensive coordinator, and the teams with the big giant names are going to be in this every single year now, because before, you could have a Cincinnati, maybe a TCU. You ain't getting that anymore.
I mean, in this case, aren't Penn State and Notre Dame, aren't they the Cinderellas in that whole bowl, because nobody expected them to be there?
A little bit. I mean, at least Penn State. I mean, this is where it's going to be interesting, because both of these teams are still – you're in the college football playoff semifinals. You did something right. There's no such thing as a cheap CFP semifinalist anymore, and yet still, James Franklin can't win the big one. Oh, Notre Dame's schedule isn't any good. They're still being gone, but they have a ton of talent. They are good enough to potentially win a national championship, both of them. I don't think they will, but these are big, gigantic programs. There is something that kind of feels a little – you know, like, oh, they're kind of the outliers here. And Texas is doing that, too. Sarkisian's playing up the thing where, oh, well, we're just little old Texas. We'll show up, and maybe, good God willing, good things will happen. You know, that kind of stuff, because that's kind of what everyone does this time of year.
Yeah, I want to ask about Penn State and Texas, Penn State and Notre Dame first. I can't possibly bet on Notre Dame tonight after the loss to Northern Illinois. I can't escape it. I think Notre Dame's the better team, Pete, and I do think that Franklin chokes in big games. But when you lose to Northern Illinois, I cross you off my list.
All right, there's everything wrong with everything you just said. Franklin doesn't choke in big games. His teams just aren't as good. I mean, it's this has been my Ryan Day argument with you guys. It's like, yeah, okay, so you lose to, like, the best teams in the country here, you know, every once in a while here when you play them. It's hard to not lose to the medium-range teams all the time. It's so hard to beat, you know, all the upper-level teams, to beat the Illinois and the Minnesotas and, the you know, this year USC. And to do that, he never gets credit for that. He never gets credit that his teams are not losing to, you know, to teams that most everyone else tends to lose to. And his biggest sin is, yeah, he can't get by, you know, the powerhouse Michigan teams of the last few years, or Ohio State, who's, you know, arguably the best program in college football going. So I push back a little on that. And the Northern Illinois thing, I can tell you this, that was such an outlier. It was, they screwed up. The coaching staff admitted they screwed up. It was after the Texas A&M game. They're trying to work out the passing game. They had a historically low number of carries for a team that does nothing but run the ball. And I don't want to equate that to Ohio State's Michigan game, but that was kind of the moment like, okay, enough of this. We're just going to go to our what we do well and just start playing. And as soon, and that kind of woke everyone up. They were like, we're not going to, you know, screw around anymore. We're just going to keep handing the ball off, rely on our defense, and go from there. So I do get not picking Notre Dame, but don't do it because of the Northern Illinois game. That was such a bizarre, weird, quirky outlier that just, that actually might have made them better.
Pete, who's the best quarterback left in the playoffs?
Wow. I get Quinn Ewers. I mean, right? I mean, I think he's, some would say Arch Manning, but Quinn Ewers is the best. He just doesn't get enough love because he's not flashy enough, because he's not Arch Manning. But you know what he is. He's going to complete 66% of his passes. He's going to make one big mistake that's going to be like, oh, well, look at that. He's going to not hit a lot of downfield plays because that's not what he does. He's going to hit a ton of mid-range throws to his fast guys on the move. And Sarkisian is going to screw it up by stop letting him throw, because that's what Texas does. They kind of, no one goes Texasing more than them, because they just, they can't take success for an answer. Something works, and then they decide to get cute and go away from it. So Quinn Ewers is going to be fine. He's going to be good to go against Ohio State. But, you know, Aller's the, you know, pretty good. He's going to have to be pretty good tonight. He's actually probably the best quarterback Notre Dame's faced all year, as crazy as that sounds. Howard, in within this system, has been fantastic. You know, so all four of these quarterbacks tonight, for what they do, if you're here, you did something right as the starting quarterback.
Does Vegas have the right read to you on Texas, Ohio State? Does it feel like it should be 5.5 or 6 points?
I mean, I think it should be way higher, but that I can get where the skittish public is going to be a little bit afraid that, you know, okay, Ohio State, this can't be real. You know, they're gonna go back to being the team that sort of, you know, turtled a little bit through the season and just got by, and just sort of, you know, maybe the Michigan games, you know, spooked a little bit. But I mean, look what they just did. I mean, they didn't play Boise State and SMU to get here. They destroyed a Tennessee team that was really, really good, that had NFL dudes on both sides of the line. And they just ripped through Oregon, the undefeated number one team. Poor Oregon. You're talking about getting a horrible break, is getting Ohio State. They just ripped through the only undefeated number one team that was ranked number one, like it was just a light scrimmage. I mean, they just showed just how good they are. And I don't think people quite buy into it yet. If you buy into Ohio State, I think you got to buy into that they're going to win this by more than six.
Pete Fucek of the College Football News publication. I want to give you a lot of, you know, build that up there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.
It's just College Football News. We lost the Facebook. It's just cleaner that way.
I thought the publication would be the problem there, but I'm glad I gave you the Ohio State treatment.
So you're the anti-Ohio State.
We don't go pretentious like that. Like there's another Ohio State that they had to distinguish themselves. We got to get our branding right here, because you know McDowell's Joe's Ohio State's gonna like get the credit here for something.
The Home Depot did the same damn thing, and nobody calls them out for it, Pete. What does Ohio State, Texas, what does that game come down to?
Ohio State, just keep it going. You're the better team. You've got more talent. Just don't be afraid. I mean, they're going to get hit, because Texas is the one team in this whole thing that has, I mean, Texas, Georgia are the two teams that have the athleticism, I can talk, on both sides, the NFL guys that could hang with Ohio State. Penn State, Notre Dame, don't. Texas can run. Texas has probably the best offensive lineman in the upcoming NFL draft, and Banks. They've got the guys up front. They could, but they couldn't run on Arizona State. Yours might not be, you know, the next Patrick Mahomes, but he's going to be one of those guys who hangs around the league for 15 years. He's a good quarterback. They've got 4-2 speed everywhere, but the whole thing just doesn't quite work. So Ohio State's got to be okay that they're going to get scored on a little bit here, but they're just better. If they just come in with the attitude, okay, you just scored, we're just going to go boom, 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 right back down, and not play it safe. Just realize your defense is good enough to clean up any messes. Your offense has more talent. Your offense has the guys. And how about this for the biggest break so far? Ohio State's offensive line's been great. You know, that was the big concern. You lose all these guys, and it couldn't handle Michigan's defensive front. And so far in two games against two monster teams, that offensive line just absolutely has been fantastic so far. So if it can do that, if it can hold up against what's coming, you know, when Texas starts bringing the defensive pressure, because they will, then I think Ohio State will be all right.
Is there a chance we see what Saban did in the, what was it, the 2018 national title game when he made the benching of Hurts for Tua? Is there a chance we see something like that in this game with Texas?
I was on the field that game, and I at that point, if you told me that Jalen Hurts would be maybe an NFL safety, I'd be like, yeah, maybe. That guy was throwing worm burners all over the place. He was so off. And, like, all of, they had to change him because he couldn't hit anything. He couldn't do anything right, and then he put into it. So it would have to take Quinn Ewers just absolutely flopping around and just not being able to hit anything for him to do this. With that said, because it's Texas and because it's Sark, what you're going to see is Ewers is going to hit go like 10 of 11, and then they're going to bring in Arch for like a package player here that's just going to screw up everything. So just if you're an Ohio State fan and you're freaking out that all of a sudden that Texas is up 10-3 or 13-3 because the passing game's working, don't worry. It'll change.
Pete, I'm not sure if you've read the Dennis Dodd opinion piece, but basically, I think you'll be able to infer what the piece is about here with this question: should Ryan Day be ready to leave Ohio State because of vitriolic fans?
I mean, welcome to, if you don't know what you're getting into as the Ohio State coach, I mean, that's, you know, cost to doing business. I mean, for what, you know, where is he going to go with the resources he has here? I mean, I mean, you guys know better than I am. I haven't heard any scuttlebutt about any NFL, you know, openings that would want him. If you're Ryan Day and you want to leave, you know, why? You know, if you win the national championship, then all of a sudden, you know, you kind of become a little bit of a god. I mean, it's, you know how Ohio State fans roll, where right now they hate him, but if he wins the national championships and leaves, they're going to make a statue for him. The next guy's going to be like, oh, you weren't Ryan Day. You know, Ryan Day never lost to Maryland, you know, all that kind of stuff. So if you're Day, I guess mental health-wise, all right, but dude's getting paid a heck of a lot of money to sit there and take heat from Ohio State fans yelling at him. So all he can do is just go out there and keep putting out these great teams and try to win it. And God help him if they lose to Texas.
What happens to Carson Beck?
Miami. This is a weird one. It's because this year, and what's going to happen going forward, there are a lot of quarterback-starved teams. I mean, you know, the Giants screwed up royally by, you know, messing up this draft pick. You know, Shedeur Sanders, I think he's the best quarterback in this draft, but, you know, he's not elite. He's not Caleb Williams. He's not Jaden Daniels. He's good. Cam Ward's good, you know, but last year was kind of the year for these guys. And, you know, after that, who you got? Jalen Milroe? Yeah. After that, what do you got? You know, Quinn Ewers? You know, it's Dylan Gabriel. They're quarterback desperate teams, and there aren't enough quarterbacks out there. So if you're Beck, this is kind of your year to kind of Kenny Pickett up a little bit and, you know, be just kind of a guy who gets overdrafted and paid for it. But now in the new wave of the transfer portal and NIL, if you are now projected to be like a second or third round pick, you could probably make more next year going to the Miami Hurricanes if you're Carson Beck. So certainly Ohio State has to be at least a thought. Just because, you know, who doesn't want to throw to these ending Jeremiah Smith and these NFL receivers and be a part of this? I would think a place like Colorado would kind of work. Ole Miss has got an opening there. Being Lane Kiffin's quarterback, you're going to put up a gajillion yards. But I think he's a Miami Hurricane.
The man will have secured the Miami NIL bag and a Cavender twin all in one calendar year. Well done, young Carson Beck. Pete, you're the best, buddy. We appreciate you. Enjoy the games.
Have a good night, guys. Have a good one.
Pete Futek, College Football News on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He had no idea what to do with the Cavender Twin line. That was a smart call. You could hear him literally pulling the phone away from his face.
Some business decisions being made by Pete right there, and I respect it.
Smart man Carson Beck as well. And Ryan Day should take matters into his own hands. That's if you believe one college football analyst. That's what he believes. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. I think it's a fascinating spin of blame on college football fans. And I also think that he's not saying for any job, by the way. He's not saying, you know, go to US. There's no open job in college football. He's not even saying go to the NFL. He's just saying go, even if it means having to sit out a year.
Yeah, he went as far as saying, like, if you can't even get a TV job and you're just hanging out for a year, then wait until something good happens. What Dennis Dodd wants Ryan Day to do is give Ohio State fans the middle finger.
Yeah. Which,
but I don't think it would be receptive that way to Ohio State fans, because how do you make somebody mad that actually wants to see you go?
Also, by the way, I don't like, and listen, I think Ohio State fans are excessive. I especially think from the Walmart Ohio State fan contingency, so people who didn't go to Ohio State. So, and by the way, I am a Walmart Ohio State fan.
Yeah.
All right? My Ohio State merch comes via your local retailer, okay? So, yes, they're excessive. You just described every blue blood fan base in college football. This idea that Ohio State, and it's been perpetuated by a guy that played there in Kirk Herbstreit. Listen, I don't get into this often because I'm an adult. It's wildly unfair and ridiculous. Yes, Ohio State fans are excessive, as are Alabama fans, as are USC fans, as are Miami fans and Texas fans and Oklahoma fans and LSU and Georgia fans. Yep, fans gonna fans. Yeah. Ryan Day, Pete's 100% right. Ryan Day knew exactly what he was signing up for when he took over this job. It's not like this. Any of this should be a surprise. You haven't beaten Michigan in 5 years, and you haven't won a national championship since taking over the job. Yep, people are going to be upset when you don't reach the bars that were set for you when you took over the job.
I just love the idea that Dodd thinks this is going to be some sort of big, like, screw you to the program and the fans and everyone attached to it. It's just not going to be perceived that way, Nick.
Yeah, it's going to be, oh, that's an interesting move from Ryan Day.
Yeah, actually, like, oh, wow, you really thought just sitting it out for a year and waiting for a different gig is that's the right call. Okay.
I actually think it would hurt him in some circles because, I mean, what blue blood program is going to want to watch you walk away from because of a rabid fan base? And then turn around.
Well, it would just show that the rabid fan base could get to you.
Yes, exactly.
That's the weakest sign of all of this with him.
Now, I don't think we can discount a Harbaugh. That's where Jim Harbaugh ate a lot of bleep. Not from fans, ironically, but from Ward Manuel, from the other leaders. Remember, during the COVID season, after the latest loss.
They tried giving him a pay cut?
Yep. No, they gave him a pay cut.
They didn't try, they did.
Yeah, they said, you can take this pay cut or you can take this job and shove it.
Because then when they gave him the money back, then he donated it all to the assistants or something like that.
Which was just a baller move. I hate how much of a baller Jim Harbaugh really is, and I hate that I said baller as well.
That's okay.
Both those things, equally hateable. But now, would it surprise me if you win the national championship on January 20th, and let's say January 22nd, he's the new Raiders head coach? I just pulled that job out of a hat.
Sure.
No, it wouldn't. That'd be a brilliant move. That's the ultimate cake and eat it too moment. It is, you said, as recently, not you, I mean the royal you, royal we, in as late as like 3 weeks ago, said, fire his ass. He goes, answers every question but beating Michigan, and then pieces off to the NFL.
Like the moment you actually want him as a fan base then, because you're like, oh, he can do it. He can achieve this.
Yep.
It would be, if Dennis Dodd wants a big middle finger to the fan base, that's the biggest middle finger you can give to the fan base.
The only thing missing from this
Not
exchange.
Not a chance he does it, though.
The only thing missing from this exchange is the DX music being cued, and then him hitting the crotch chop on the way out of town.
Like it's 2003? Yeah.
And like hitting a Bronco Buster on like Nick Fink.
Between
right?
your,
Our buddy.
between your pwned reference and then the crotch chop, you're living in 2005 right now.
I never left. But
that's the argument.
And actually, that's the other part of this. I actually think, because remember, when Ryan first took over the job, I can't remember which year it was, he did get some interest from the NFL. Now, at the time, he politely told them to get bent, but I think it would make total sense. Like, if Ryan Day validated himself with a national championship, knowing the next year you're only like two more losses from Michigan away from people freaking out at you again. I actually think the Raiders has a brilliant idea. Because that is a team.
Do you think Ryan Day can coach at the next level?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm very leery, of the college to the NFL track. I just think it doesn't work often. I think Harbaugh is he's very unique in many, many ways. Yep. I think he's very special to be able to pull that off. I just typically think it doesn't work out.
So I think the key predictor, and Jimmy Johnson kind of bucks this because Jimmy didn't have any NFL experience as an assistant before becoming the head coach. It was a completely different era and a completely different time. I think the key predictor is, do you have meaning like positional coach, coordinator kind of experience in the NFL? Ryan did have, I want to say, years as quarterback coaches, 1 year in Philly and 1 year in San Francisco with Chip Kelly. I don't know it would work out, but if I'm Vegas, Ben Johnson ain't coming to Vegas. Not for Tom Brady, not for Mark Davis.
No, he did just do his first interview with them.
Yeah, it ain't
happening. That was out of respect to Tom Brady is all that was.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of people are going to respect Tom Brady enough to interview.
I think that's what it was.
And very few people are going to respect him enough to actually take the job.
I will say this, and this, I'm not going to derail the convo, but there are people that are wondering if the defensive coordinator in Detroit is better than the offensive coordinator in Detroit, and that's a different story for a different time.
I actually love Aaron Glenn. I think the idea that Mike Kafka And Davis Webb, who's got 2 years as a quarterback's coach, where all he does is, I don't know, go get Sean Payton's coffee. I think the idea that those guys are getting meaningful head coaching interviews, and in the same breath with Aaron Glenn, I think is insulting. I digress, which I haven't said all day, and now we're back in the game. I think specific to a job where no...
Whether you want to...
Buy, buy, buy!
In a bear market... Or
sell, sell, sell.
In a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Nobody credible in the NFL. You're going to find your Mike Pettine.
Yeah, but okay, but if you're
That's
Ryan
what you're
Day,
gonna get
if you're
in,
Ryan
in
Day,
Vegas,
why do you leave the mountaintop when you're this is if you win the national title, you are at your complete height, your apex. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I know we laugh at the idea of dynasty in college football, and there isn't. I don't know if I buy the idea that you can have a dynasty anymore in college football. But if you're the favorite this year and you win the title and you're bringing back as many resources as you've had in previous years, and you got all sorts of recruited quarterbacks lined up to go, you'd think this is just the beginning for Ryan Day. Like, you want to be legendary at Ohio State, win multiple titles.
I'll be honest. Jim won one. Jim Tressel won one. He's a legend. Urban Meyer won
one. They've won two in 50 years. Yeah. Everyone walks around like Ohio State has won a million different titles. You win multiple titles,
yeah, but
you are in rarefied air.
One win solidifies everything that he needs to say to Ohio State fans.
Oh, no, he can give them the middle finger and he can say, listen, I did everything I set out to do and I achieved everything and now I'm leaving you. But I also wonder if you'd want to leave right when he's got his house in order.
Well, here's the thing. That is something... I think it comes down to whether Ryan believes that you can be dynastic in this era. I think of anybody, I think Ohio State has their best position right now to be that team. Alabama clearly has taken a step back, even though I still like Kalen DeBoer. Oregon has had chances, and every time they get to the mountaintop, they don't go the other side.
I mean, the collective just proved that you can just spend a lot of money and get yourself in a really good spot,
yeah.
and you can have a couple landmines pop up, like the Michigan game, and you're still going to be in the playoff, and you can still then right all the wrongs.
But you're this year's Michigan. It's not just the super team of super teams. Like, it's not just the 24, 34, whatever the number is, the money number that for the roster to keep it together. There's also a lot of guys with a lot of experience that have just been playing at Ohio State with that extra year. And I think that affords you the depth that allows you to do what you're able to do against teams like Oregon and teams like Tennessee. And that gap, you're still going to have your upper echelon players, but the depth, I mean, you're going to be in a better position than Michigan was this year after losing Harbaugh in, 30% of their roster?
Well, just let me ask you on a personal level. What's cooler?
Real quick. But I think there is going to be a step back just talent-wise because this is a different level of talent this year.
Sure, and you have a chance to reload. There'll always be another Caleb Downs that you can get from an Alabama or a school like that and throw the bag at to convince to come over. What's cooler to you? Making a run at potentially having multiple titles at Ohio State if you win after this season, or trying to reorganize the mess and the chaos that is the Raiders, where even if you win and you win big and you show off that you're successful at the NFL level, okay.
What's okay? If you win at the NFL level, you'll never need a job on any level of coaching ever again.
I think you'll, but if you do it at Ohio State and you do multiple championships in multiple years, I think that is a we talked about legacy defining things. If you win big at Ohio State and then go to the Raiders, and listen, I'm talking at winning big, different level than winning Super Bowls. I think it's going to be, that is more than 5 or 10 years. That's a very long track. And I don't know if it's possible right now with Mark Davis as the owner. I just don't know if it's possible there.
Just got to get Shedeur Sanders.
But like, is getting to the playoffs with the Raiders, is that enough to be, is that better than winning multiple titles at Ohio State?
So I think once you win a national championship, you're never going to want for a blue blood job ever again. Right. I just the reality is, if you win one this year, and I don't think you'll ever be, I don't want to say you'll never be as secure as you are at Ohio State right now if you win a national championship again. But I don't think the love is there the way it is with Urban from Ohio or Jim Tressel. So I think there's a downside to coming back and doing this. And here's the other thing. NFL opportunities are fleeting. Right. So, yeah, I think it's as simple as if you win a national championship this year and an NFL opportunity materializes where you get everything that you want, the reverse Belichick, as we call it. Now, he got that in college. You get that in the NFL, and $15 million a year, whatever number, and you've got the chance to go to the NFL. If in 5 years it doesn't work out, or if you win 3 out of 5 playoff years, but you don't get to the mountaintop, and then Mark Davis goes all weird haircut on you and fires you, you're going to be able to walk into any blue blood job in America 5 years from now.
I also think you can do the same exercise if you stay at Ohio State and win 3 titles or 2 titles. The NFL job will be there for you if you win multiple titles at Ohio State and really build up a dynasty.
So we got plenty to get to here. We're kind of short on time, but Jim in Strongsville, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Listen, I think we can all agree he's not getting an NFL head coaching job.
Are you talking about Matt Campbell or are you talking about Ryan Day?
Ryan Day. There's no way he's going to walk away from the contract he has. Oh, yeah, excuse me. Don't pay me the millions of dollars you're going to pay me. I'm going to go take an assistant coach job in the NFL. It's the dumbest thing I ever heard. I'll play this thing out until you fire me and I'll collect my check.
Who said he was going to
take an OC job? He's not Bill O'Brien.
No, not you guys. I'm talking about Dennis Dodd. Like, why would he walk away? If you tell me another job that's going to pay him that much money, there's no pressure to win. Don't worry about it, buddy. You go out there, buckaroo, and do your very best.
I do love the idea that Dennis Dodd's like, there's just too much pressure at Ohio State, as if it's the only college football program where they have outsized expectations.
Thank you, Jim. I'll read you the part of this article. Day, quote, Day also looks like he's coaching angry. He's had enough. All of the fans, the blame of what the job has become. He acts like this is just it only happens at Ohio State, apparently.
He's really reading the body language there.
Ohio State's the only place that has put expectations on a coach.
Physical language, I would say genius, Dennis Dodd, suggests Ryan Day should leave Ohio State. So what we're actually going to take it to a logical direction. Should Ryan Day consider leaving Ohio State for the NFL if he wins the national championship this year? 216-474-0092. And did I learn the wrong lesson this week? That's next on 92.3 The Fan. I don't even know I'm anti-Shedeur. I just haven't made up my mind yet.
Yeah, and what's funny, anytime you bring these guys on, I think the expectation is that they're just going to say really, really nice things. But I do remember talking to a Texas Tech play-by-play guy the year Mahomes was coming out, and he did not have nice things to say.
Who was the Cavs player? I think it was the Morning Boys. They had on... Oh, it was the Eastern Michigan basketball announcer about Imani Bates.
That's right.
And the guy was just like, this dude's a clown. His dad's a problem.
And so it's like a genuine question with Shedeur if he's going to say nice things or not. I genuinely do not know.
And in fairness, 2 years in, we have not really had the bad Imani. Now, again, he was like the 50th pick. And in fairness, he's not done a damn thing in the NBA.
No.
But... He hasn't gotten in trouble. He hasn't been released from a two-way contract. That's kind of a success story if you're still kind of kicking it 2 years later as a two-way player on a two-year contract.
14 people were comparing him to LeBron, though. So, like, I don't know if Imani looks at it this way as a massive success story.
Just because somebody said it 10 years ago and then people have clung to that take. I think it was like 10 years ago with Imani. It's been a minute. But I think I might have learned the wrong lesson this week. And I think it was 2 days ago, I left the show and I got in my truck, and my key fob for the parking garage is in my wallet. And so naturally, I reached into my pocket to find my wallet. And it's more of like a money clip meets a wallet, but I reached in, it wasn't there. And so I reached in my other pocket, and it wasn't there. Then we did the whole body scramble where you just kind of fondle yourself. Look, you know, yeah. Where is it? Which pocket could it be in? And I happened to have a flannel on that day, and I had a hoodie over the flannel, which has two more pockets in it. Then I had a winter coat on, which has five pockets in it. And my pants pockets, nary anywhere, was my wallet.
You got a lot of pockets.
A lot of pockets. That day specifically, way too many pockets, which only added the level of comedy as I got frantic.
Yeah.
So I checked all around, like the footboard. Okay, did I leave it in the dashboard? Did I leave it in the center console? Not there. Checked my my bag for work like six times. No dice. Got out. Came back over here. Then I had to look all, I looked in here while Jake was doing his first segment. Then I looked back up there in the producer bay. Then I walked all the way over. It's not that far. I'm just fat, to the other side where we do our pre-show. It wasn't there. So then I have to walk back, and then I walk all the way back to the garage. And that's a little bit more farther of a drive. And I asked the lady, I was like, hey, where's the, wait, like, hey, you guys found anything? And she's like, yeah, we found a wallet today. And I was like, bingo, bango, bongo.
You had to think that was yours.
And so I walk back to the front station here in the lobby. Wait 5 minutes because the guy was on break. He comes back. They've got 10 wallets. 10 wallets that people have missed in like the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Nary one of them was mine. So now I'm panicking. Like, I'm now texting people, but just this side of, did you take my wallet? Like, I didn't accuse. I just asked. But I was thinking, all right, which one of you hooligans did this?
I might have hung up if you called and asked that question. I wouldn't even answer it. I wouldn't be like, no, I just might just hang up.
In fairness, I probably wouldn't call and say, did you take my wallet? I'd probably go like, hey.
Be aggressive on very, yeah,
hey,
very
buddy,
aggressive.
Did you happen to see my wallet anywhere today?
And then I would freak out in the process too then, because then if you did it that nicely, then I would turn around and be like, do you want me to come back and help you?
I texted multiple people. Keith got back to me. Keith actually called me back. And he's like, so we go through the whole thing. Like, all right, where have you checked? Da, da, da. And he's like, well, we didn't get any on either side of the building. And so I'm like, all right, let me go retrace my steps. So I pulled my truck all the way back to my original parking spot. And as I'm on the phone with Keith, I get like 5 feet away and I just start dropping expletives as it had been under my truck the whole time.
At least you found it.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I was starting to do the dance.
I mean, listen, I'll take finding something in a dumb way over not finding it at all.
Yeah, it's kind of the worst of both worlds because you have the panic episode.
Yeah.
The anxiety. I'm going to have to cancel all my credit cards and my, you have to get a new license, which is a pain in the butt. I'm going to do all this stuff, right? And by the way, it hadn't just been there like since I got into it had been there since I got there earlier that day. Cause it was like, it was hard as a rock and so freaking cold. It wasn't fully like not cold as hell until I got home and out 40 minutes later. So I did find it. I just had another panic attack just telling you the story. That's how it was a little bit of PTSD, not to trivialize that.
It's awful. So I wanted to pitch you on an idea, and I know you're not, I'm pretty confident you're not going to be receptive to it, but in order to do it first, what do you actually have in your wallet? I need to know the severity of the what are we playing with here? Because I'm trying to pitch you and anyone that's listening the idea to get rid of the wallet. Yeah, you do. You got five American dollars.
There's a 20 spot in there.
Oh wow, look at that. Okay,
$26. Put a little respect on it, please.
All right, what else do you have in your wallet? I need you to, because if I'm going to pitch you on the idea that you could go walletless, and so like what I have a little thing that I put on the back of my phone,
easy.
And I have three cards in there. That's all I have. I have three cards, and by the way, I am interested in consolidating it down just to my driver's license.
Wow.
Because my driver's license is what I think is the only thing I need. The other thing I have, my HSA card, which is now locked into my phone anyway, so it's in my phone. I don't need that. And my credit card, which is also linked to my phone as well. So the only thing I ever actually need would be my license, which in theory, I could even leave in my car because I'm not going to need it outside of that in basically any situation.
I have everything.
All right, but how many things do you actually use on a daily basis that you cannot possibly have in another spot?
I like optionality.
Yeah. Tell me.
I like the idea that I can have any one of my credit cards on a dime. Maybe I'll pay with this.
But your credit cards can all be put on your phone.
I'm not going to do that.
Every one of them can be put on your phone.
China could get it.
It would save you this 40-minute conundrum that you found yourself in, though.
Do you know what?
What happens if you lose?
Once every year, I do it. Once every year, I have a good panic attack.
Like you thought you were going to. Mm-hmm. You would have had to cancel all your credit cards. Mm-hmm. You had to go through the whole process of reordering all your credit cards and doing everything under the sun. You don't have to live with it this way anymore.
I mean, I got a
2025.
I got a Sam's Club card. I got a healthcare card. I got my key fob for the parking garage over there. I got a lot of stuff I can't do without.
I want to see the most useless thing you have in there.
Probably the credit cards.
You just don't need them. You don't need them anymore at this point. You put all that stuff on your phone.
No, I meant because I don't have that much credit.
Oh, I'm so close. Like, this is just on the back of my phone. I am so close to just not even having the thing on the back of my phone. The only thing I need is my license, and I can just put that in my car at this
point. You were remarkably paperless. More so than any you actually overshot Dustin. Dustin was the most, like, I don't carry anything, cash, just about anything on me. And then you kind of shared with her. You're like to a different degree.
I kind of thought this is what everyone was doing these days. Like, Mac, do you have an actual, like, big dog wallet?
Oh, yeah. Full wallet.
Jake, you have a wallet that was like, it's like, just like big and full with everything that you put in your pocket? Well, you should have heard the other word I was coming up with.
Talking downtown.
Hello.
No, I just have a slim wallet, so it's kind of like in the middle of what both of you guys have.
I've heard it's kind of about how you use the wallet, not necessarily.
Sure.
Yeah. There's no way. You're going to do this until you die, aren't you?
Yeah, I like it.
Is it convenient?
It's like listening to vinyl. I get it. What's funny is I
knew there was no way I would ever convince you to get rid of it. I just knew that was just going to be off the table.
I thought that was reverse psychology.
I know with certainty. If you're a wallet person, you're just never going to go another direction.
By the way, I'm telling you,
life is so much easier this way.
It's a money clip, right? It's a money clip. It's a money clip right there.
For your $26?
My $26. Some days it's $27. If I'm really feeling on it,
yeah.
I'll have 30 in that bad boy.
Look out.
I'm not even afraid. 216-474-0092. How long do you search for your wallet before you give up? Because mine was a 35-minute panic attack. But the real question is, can I live without a wallet? If you are a walletless person out there, I also want to know if anybody's gone walletless and then gone back. Right? They say you can't do that, but I want to hear about that. And we got the 505 next on 92.3 The Fan.